Say this. This house has always been a blessing to Tom and I. And I just want to come tonight and sow seed. We are not going to receive an offering from me tonight. I just want you to know that. I told Tom I felt like the Lord said, sow. So I'm going to sow. Because so much of this church has been sowed into us. And believed in us. And walked us through some tough times. But I'm thankful tonight we have a great church. It's growing. It's thriving. It's blessed. It's prospering. And it's increasing. And I am grateful to God. But I know that we learn to stand through this house and through our pastor. We learned how to endure in the hard places. And we learned how to walk in victory. We do like that much better, I will tell you that. Victory is much better, glory to God. But we are in such a wonderful place in Columbia, and our church is in a great place, and the presence of God is there. Isn't that what it's all about, is the presence of God? And He has showed up in our house, and it's just been glorious and wonderful. And so our heartfelt thanks to this house. And to our beloved pastor and Joy. Hallelujah. So, Charlie, we're not receiving an offering for us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't tell him. I just decided I'm doing it. Hallelujah. Yes, we just want to be a blessing. So I want you to open your Bibles up to Acts 10. And I want to talk about awakening. We are in awakenings. If you want to know when the awakening is coming, it's here. Amen. You know, the awakening is already here. The church is waking up. Amen. First of all, the church is waking up. Amen? There is an awakening going within the body of Christ. They are coming to that place that they are believing that the power of God is in them. And it's not just for the people that stand in the pulpit. It's for the body. And there is awakening, and there's a great awakening going on with young people. I mean, a tremendous awakening. You may not know it on the news, but there is a tremendous awakening going on. I mean, young people are coming out hungry for God and hungry to know the truth. And it's just been amazing. We have just seen some amazing things among young people and just how they're coming out. So we're going to pray. And then we're going to get into the Word. Amen? Amen? So, Father in heaven, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, that name that you've given us, that has all of heaven back in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And, Father, I pray tonight that you open the eyes of our understanding, that we're going to have revelation and insight into your word to be able to carry out your plans and purposes in this day and in this hour. That we are going to learn to move with you. And that as this move of God and this awakening that is going on, we are going to be so sensitive to you that we're not going to know exactly what we need to do in this hour. And Father, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So did you open your Bibles to Acts 10? Well, just hold them there for a minute. I just wanted to see if you'd be obedient and open them. I want to talk to you. Charlie did a great job this morning, and he was talking about boldness. But I want to talk to you about the early church, and I want to talk about those first days of the church. You know, where there was a great move of God going on, and in Acts 4, it talks about the move of God, and it talks about the things that were going on. You know, something really supernatural is going on, and when one day you have 120, and a few weeks later you got 8,000 people. That's a miraculous move of God. That's an awakening. That's a move of God, because people were moving and shaking and doing things. But the early church was nearsighted. We talk about the power. Yes, they had power. They walked in signs and wonders and miracles, but they kept it to themselves. They evangelized just the Jews. And Jesus said, you know, that you are to go out and you're to hit every nation, every tongue, every tribe. You're to move with God and affect the nations. Well, the early church, all they did was affect the Jews. And that's not a bad thing. But they didn't go to the nations. They didn't get out of their comfort zone. They didn't get out of that place that God had called them to move out into the nations of the world and take their place and win souls for Jesus. And so that went on for 10 years. 10 years, there was no outreach to the nations. It was just to the Jews. Powerful, like Charlie said this morning, it was powerful. God was moving, but God had so much more. And so when the persecution of Stephen came and the persecution of the church came, they began to move on out. And they went out and they began to go to different nations, but they still only went to the Jews. And then God had to supernaturally intervene because the words of Jesus just didn't affect them. Because if it affected them, they would have gone beyond the Jews. And so in Acts 10, here is Cornelius, a man that feared God, a man that prayed, and a man that gave alms. But he didn't really know who he was praying to. He had a fear of God, but he didn't know about Jesus. He didn't know about this thing that was going on, but he knew that there had to be a God, and he feared him. And so, you know, he was praying one day, and an angel visited him. And when the angel visited him, the angel told him to go to get to Joppa to get Peter. And so when the angel leaves, Cornelius calls some men, says, now go to Joppa and find Peter. And so, and I know we all know the story here. So they go down to Peter's house. Well, while they are going down to Peter's house, Peter goes upstairs because he's hungry, and he goes right into a trance. And out of heaven comes this sheet, and it's full with all sorts of forbidden food for the Jews to eat. And the Lord says, Peter, arise and eat. Peter says to the Lord, I'm telling you, you wonder some days, did Peter really change? Because he says to the Lord, not so, Lord. No, you may tell me to eat that, but I'm not going to do it. That's what he said. I mean, Peter's pretty good about rebuking the Lord, you know. That's not the first time he's rebuked the Lord. You'd think he would learn something. Kind of like some of us sometimes. We're trying to talk God out of things that he says for us to do. And we're going, no, God, I can't do that. Signs and wonders, no, God. I believe someday you might use me, but not right now. Not so, Lord. I know none of us here would think that, because this is where we get the word and we're fed all the time. But I can guarantee you there's people in this pew right now. If God said, I want you to go to the hospital, room 320, and I want you to pray for that person, and I want you to raise them up. Not so, Lord. Get the pastor right now. Well, he's laying in rehab right now. Well, get Charlie and Lori. Well, get Dan and Ashley. Well, get Robert and Pam. Get out there and get somebody, but not so, Lord, for me. That would be none of you, correct? Glory to God. I mean, this happens three times. You think Peter would get a revelation on at least the second time to say, yes, sir, I am at your command and I will do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. But he said again, not so, Lord. He did it three times. And then he was doubting. He was in confusion. He didn't know what the heck was going on. That is the church today sometimes. When God is moving, they don't know what's going on. We've got to learn when God tells us to do something that he's given us the power and he's given us the ability to carry out his plan and to carry out his purpose. And we have got to get ourselves in that place that we hush our mouths up and we obey what God says. Amen? Amen. I mean, God's talking to the pews. He's talking to people. You know, there's an awakening going on and we've got to wake up. God is wanting to use you. God is wanting to use every one of us in this room in signs and wonders and miracles. God is wanting to do things in this hour, and he is believing that you're the one. He's believing in you. He believes that you are going to obey what he says. Amen? Amen. And so here Peter is, and he is just trying. He's perplexed. He's trying to figure out, what does all this mean? And there's that knock on the door from Cornelius's people, and they knock on that door, and Peter goes to that door, and God had told him, Peter, go doubting nothing. Go doubting nothing. That particular doubting means go without hesitation. Peter, get out of your head. Come on. Get out of your head and stop trying to figure out what God is doing. Just go and obey. That's what God is saying. Go and obey. Get yourself up and go. So Peter went. He went with Cornelius. He didn't know why he was going. He's got a sheep with animals in it. Now he is with the uncircumcised people. He's a Jew. He shouldn't be with them. What is God doing? He's trying to figure out what the heck is going on here. All he knows, now this is a miracle worker. This is a man that does signs, wonders, and miracles, but God is causing him to get out of his comfort zone and go someplace he hadn't gone before, do something he hadn't done before, and he's in his head. That would be none of the church, right? Glory to God. We are so obedient. Every time God says something, we do it, right? Don't answer that. Safer. Hallelujah. So we all know he goes down to Cornelius's house, and he gets down there and he says, oh, I'll just do it this way. Y'all can read it later. So he gets down to Cornelius's house and he goes in to the Gentiles, into their house, a forbidden place for a Jew. And he's walking in there going, what am I doing here? God, you're about to get me in trouble. Come on, that's about what they're going to think. And so here they are. And he says, okay, what am I doing here? What is it, Cornelius? What's going on? And so Cornelius tells him the story of what happened about the angel and how they appeared and told him to go get you. And Peter gets a great revelation standing right there. It says, Peter says, I perceive you, God, are not a respecter or a discriminator, is what that word meant. You are not a discriminator of people. You want something done here with people that don't look like us, don't act like us, don't eat like us, don't talk like us, don't think like we do. I perceive God is not a respecter of persons. And so Peter begins to share. And when he does, he gets shocked. The Holy Ghost begins to fall on all of Cornelius's household. And all his friends were there, and all the people that were with Peter are just amazed that the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost and many days after that is now falling on the nations. A different culture, a different group of people, unfamiliar, not the same kind of people, a different culture. God's trying to break barriers where cultures are concerned. The church is full of culture. You know, in our nation, in the churches in our nation, we want healing in our nation. Let's get the church healed. Let's get the church in the place the church needs to be in, that we break through. Now, thank God this is a multicultural church. Ours is a multicultural church, but there are so many churches that are not multicultural. We have the black church, we have the white church, we have the Spanish church, we have the Asian church, we have this church, we have that church, and we all stay as far away as we can. There must be healing in the church. There must be a great move of God to bring a healing in the church, to join the church, the body of Christ, together. You know, in the early church, we talk about we want to be like the early church, but they did not have that revelation. It took them years, and there was major battles in the church, in the early churches, when they started breaking through with culture and accepting and receiving the nations in. When Peter went back to Joppa, or back to Jerusalem, when he went back home, Jerusalem was ticked at him because he had gone in to another home. He had gone into some different culture than what he was, and they were ticked off. They were so upset with what Peter had done, and all Peter did was obey God. There was an awakening, a move of God that was going on, but they weren't familiar with it. It didn't mix with them. It didn't mix with the way they did things. It didn't mix with what was going on and what they knew and what they had seen for the last 10 years. They didn't understand it. But yet God was smack dab in the middle of it. And God is smack dab in the middle of an awakening here in our nation, in this world, awaken people up, getting them out of their stupor, getting them out of that place to begin to move out. We've got to be the force that moves out and brings healing to this nation. But we must bring healing to the church first. Amen. We must break down the walls and the barriers that has separated the church, the body of Christ. Somehow somebody, we think the body is just Jesus has got a body over here, and he's got a body over here, and he's got a body over here. No, it's one body. That's the revelation that Paul had, that people had a hard time understanding. They had a hard time trying to figure out, what is a body? What are you talking about, Paul? What do you mean? You know, even when in Acts 11, you know, after Jerusalem got ticked off with Peter and Peter told them what was happening, you know, they said, well, okay, it's all right if Cornelius gets saved. And so then these people are being dispersed, still going to just the Jews. Come on, just still, they're staying in their own group. They're staying in their own culture, afraid to move out, afraid to go to the nations. But something happened in Antioch that changed the way the church would operate. And that's what we've got to find out. How is the operation of the church supposed to be? It's supposed to be a nation changer. My goodness, how many different nations do we have in America today? How many culture lines do we need to break through? How many things do we need to get through to bring the body of Christ together, to get us in that place that we're healed? When we do that, we talk about the power, and we have moves of God, and we have instances where God comes in and God does some great things and the power of God moves, but it's only affecting the church inside. It's only affecting what's going on inside. It's not affecting the world. And we've got to somehow get our mindset out of the church, get the church healed so it can get out and move into the world. Take the power. Until we're unified, we won't be able to operate in the fullness of what Paul called us to operate in. But in Antioch, something happened. So let's look at chapter 11. Let's go to about verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Who are the Grecians? They are Gentiles. They're nations. And so somebody started going to the nations. And look what happened when they did. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Glory to God. Something started moving outside the Jewish nation, outside the culture that they had been raised in and what they had known. And then it says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Go check out what is going on. Something is going on in Antioch, and we, the Jerusalem church, wants to know what's going on. We want to check this out. If this is of God, we want to know about it. And so then it says in verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Taurus for to seek Paul. What happened? Something's moving here. Barnabas comes and he finds out that nations are being saved. The power of God is there. Something is going on and changing the design or the culture of the church. That's what's happening here. So he says, let's get Paul in on this. We want Paul to see what is going on. We want Paul to come and be a part of this because there's excitement. You know, people start coming. People start coming when God starts moving. We've all seen some things when God moves. When God is moving with purpose, and it's not just to bless the church, it's to get the church in power to move out. Amen. That's what the purpose of an awakening is. That's what the purpose of the body of Christ is for, is to move out of our comfort zones and to get in that place that we're acting and talking like Jesus. Amen. So it says, verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called what? Christians. First where? Not in Jerusalem. They weren't called Christians first in Jerusalem, where the original church was and where the power of God. But they were called Christians in the Antioch church. That means Christ-like. That means that they went about doing good and healing all that were sick, oppressed of the devil. That means they looked like Jesus. They talked like Jesus. They walked like Jesus. They did the healings that Jesus did. And you notice it didn't say the apostles and the prophets. Now, there were miracles in the hands of Paul, and there were miracles in the hands of Barnabas. But there were miracles in the believers. It said the disciples were first called Christians, not the apostles and the prophets. It said the disciples, the pew people, they were first called Christians. That meant they moved in the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost because they left their culture. They left behind what they thought. They didn't allow that to faze them. They weren't looking at who people were. They were looking and trusting in Jesus and going and flowing with him. Just like Jesus did. They preached Jesus and souls came in, but they preached and the power of God came. Man, I'm telling you, we have to get out of our heads and become demonstrators of the power of God. Many of you have sat in church many, many years, you know, hoping someday, you know, something's going to happen, something's going to shake, you know. Maybe that's what happened in Jerusalem. Maybe it was just, you know, some of them that were doing signs and wonders, but something happened in Antioch that changed the whole set course of the church. The culture, the wars came down. You know, we've got to get in that place that we leave this junk behind and move forward and start being the church of the living God. He's alive. He's not dead. He's active and he's full of power and it lives in every one of us. The glory of God is manifested in you. But if we don't open our mouths and lay hands, it isn't going to come out of us. We cannot week after week sit in the pew and do nothing. These were disciples that went out and did good. You know, and then if you look in Acts 15, and we won't turn there. In Acts 15, it's back in Antioch. There's a great move of God going on, and Paul and Barnabas have gone back again. Why? Because something was moving. Something was shaking. And so they wanted to go, and they wanted to be a part of what was going on to continue to encourage the saints. And then here comes some Jews, some circumcised Jews, and they're going to bring their culture into the church. And you read this all through the book of Acts. Well, look, these Gentiles that are now saved, they need to be circumcised. We've got to have this. Now, we have to have, you know, we're Jews, so we believe in the circumcision and we believe in all this stuff. Now, we have to make them do the same thing. Bring an old tradition into the church. You know, instead of keeping the traditions of men, keeping the traditions out that the law, you know, kept you in bondage in, you know, where we've been made free, trying to bring those traditions, your culture into the church. No. The only thing that needs to be in the church is Jesus. That's what needs to be in the church. And so Paul and Barnabas get bent out of shape and they have to have another discussion in Jerusalem over this same thing that was dealt with years before. Culture. There's a culture war going on. Culture war going on in our nation. But there's a culture war going on in the church. The church, the body of Christ, trying to separate and divide, trying to separate the black church and the white church and separate us and divide us. And the church must get healed and work together so we can heal a nation. Amen? I mean, people sometimes think, well, I don't know sometimes. It's funny what people think. But, you know, when you look at the body of Christ, when you look at the body of Christ, what do you see? I'll just take Ashley right there. Just come stand right there. I may not know everybody's name, but I'll take you in that gray jacket back there. Come stand up here. On the stage. Let's see. Got a Spanish person around here somewhere? Well, it's Paul. Where is he? Where? Give me. I can't see. Get up here. Y'all kind of stand up here. Right here. Right here. Stand right there. Stand right there. Stand right there. Got anybody have any Indian in them? Red man?
Mr. Stolaby, right back there.
Come. That's you? Come. Choctaw. I like it. Any Asian? Anybody Asian? Need to work on that. We need to get that nation in here. They're not here tonight. Joe Lori said they're not here tonight. Okay. This is the church. This is the body of Christ. This is what the body looks like. You wouldn't know it in America.
Come on.
You wouldn't know it. But this is the body. And this body is to function together as one body with no difference in it. No, just because your culture is different than mine, your culture is different than mine, your culture is different than mine, you're probably closer to my culture, right? But that doesn't separate us. But that's what was going on. Separation. Oh, you have to be over here. No. Paul came with such a revelation of the body of Christ that even Peter was astounded at it. They were having trouble comprehending what was going on. I'm telling you, the church today is having trouble comprehending that this is what the body looks like, that we're all the body of Christ in the same body, and we function as one body. Amen? Amen. Thank y'all very much. Give them a hand. Hallelujah. You know, our picture of the way the body of Christ is needs to change. It needs to be in that place that we break out and people start getting healed over their differences, because there really is no difference. We all walk through, this may shock people, but we all walk through the same blood. Every person has to go through the same blood. It's called the blood of Jesus. And there is no one that goes through that blood that is any better than anybody else. And that has got to be in the church. I'm not talking this church. I'm talking the body. To where we function as a body. To where our gifts and our callings function the way Jesus, the head of the church, set it up to function and set it up to move and for us to go. That's why the Antioch church had such great revival and such a great move of God, because they got out of culture. And as I was saying earlier, Paul and Barnabas went to the Jerusalem church to have to explain why the nations were coming into the church. Isn't that a sad story? They were upset again, even though that had been dealt with years before. Yet it was coming up. What was it coming up to do? Choke the work of God. Stop the work of God. Stop what was going on. To say to the church, no, you can't do it that way. Nope, you got to do it this way. There has to be a plan and a prayer. We need to pray that the body of Christ be unified first. We're praying for the nation and we're praying for these other things, but the body, Paul said, till we all come in the unity of faith together, that we're joined together, that we're not divided. The division in the church must stop. The division of how all of that functions must stop. And we need to be praying for the healing of the body of Christ. That healing starts taking place in the body. That we start coming together and working efficiently as a body intended to be worked. Not separated, not talking one another. And I'm talking pastors, I'm talking churches, I'm talking, you know, things out there that are in the body, things that need to be addressed in the church. These things need to be addressed. We need to know why we believe what we believe. We need to know why. We need to be able to back up what we believe. Why do we make the stands that we make? Why do we stand like we stand? We need to know. The body needs to know why they believe like they believe. They need to understand. Sometimes we talk a lot about faith and signs and wonders and miracles and glory to God. We need them, but we'll never be the powerhouse until the body's healed. We talk about a glorious church. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, right? Isn't that what Ephesians says? A glorious church. A church without spot. A church without wrinkle. You know what that means? That means that in your souls, there is no division. There are no spots. There are no wrinkles in your soul. That means you have no ought against your brother, no matter where they are. That you, in your soul, that you are walking in love. The world wants to see a church that walks in love. They want to see the body of Christ walking in love. Then they're going to see the power. Then the awakening. That's what was going on. People were waking up to the things of God, and they were walking and talking like Jesus. Glory to God. That's an amazing thing to me. They were walking and talking like Jesus. They were getting up out of the pews, and they were doing what they did, exactly what Jesus did. They did what Paul did. They did what Barnabas did. And there were so many miracles that took place. Supernatural miracles, because the power was being released. Wouldn't that be amazing? If everybody in this room started walking in that kind of power, started releasing what was on the inside of them, started loving beyond themselves, started loving beyond what church they went to. And I love this church, so everybody knows that. You know, but started loving, going into that place and saying, I love you. You know, I'm here for you. It would be so miraculous. But it's the way God intended the church to be. That's exactly how he designed it to be. And it took man again to mess it up. We do know how to mess up. I mean, we get on Adam's case, but come on. Let's look at self. We mess up. We make mistakes. But you know what? We keep going after it. You know, we've all failed. We've all messed it. Do you know how we rate things sometimes? We can look at a Charlie that, you know, has been in this pulpit and been in this church 35 years? 33 years. And we think, he's just perfect in all his ways. Come on, let's be real. We think these things. And so we think there's something real special about Charlie. Oh, Charlie can get up there and he can preach and he can receive offerings. And, you know, Charlie always gets them saved. You know, I don't have that. Baloney. You've got giftings. And Charlie tells you where it came from. Lori saw him. A mess. True? She did. But look at him. And I don't want to burst your bubbles. But he's made a few mistakes.
One or two.
Just one or two. At least he'll admit to one or two. You know, so we put him in a category up there. And then when we sit in the pews, what do? Let's be real. Well, that's Charlie. Can you give me scripture for that? Can you give me something that separates you that your power that's in you is less than what's in him? You know why he steps out? He steps out by faith. He steps out by faith. He gets out on his comfort zone on purpose. That's how he does it. People sometimes, they look at me, maybe David, like a David King or Lori or Ashley or any of these on the front row. But look, we've all had to learn to walk by faith. We've all had to learn to step out. We've all had to learn to move. We've all been in the pews. We've all been there. But we've made some decisions. We've made a decision to trust God. We've made decisions to step out of our comfort zone. And we've made mistakes. I'm just trying to talk to this body. If you make a mistake, is God not bigger than your mistake?
Hallelujah.
We've all have to learn how to move with God. But if we never step out, if we never get out of our comfort zone, we'll allow different things like culture, like reasoning, to keep us trapped and say someday. Someday. People have lived and died in their some days and never gotten where God wants them.